He's been good to you. Let's give him all the praise and let's magnify his name. We give you praise, oh God. We magnify your name and lift you up. Blessed be the name above every name. Praise God. Praise God. Appreciate the presence of God here today and all the promise of his word. I believe that God hears and answers prayer. How about you? I believe that God is faithful. Praise God. Appreciate the good worship and the prayer that went on before the service. We can feel the upsurge of prayer that's been going on all week. And we just are thankful to be a part of God's people. Appreciate the musicians and the singers and just everybody that's ministering. Appreciate the kitchen crew that fed them all this morning. And they make better music when they are full of grits. It's the truth. That's anecdotal, but I mean, I believe it with all my heart. Praise God. So good things going on in the kingdom of God. We praise God for those that were baptized last week. Sweet things going on in the house of God. And for all the Bible studies that are going on right now. And just for the privilege to be a part of what God is doing. Praise God. Just once more, would you just lift up your hands and your voice to God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just tell him how wonderful he is and how much you love him. How good he's been. Now we give you praise, oh God. Blessed be your name, almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's nothing like the kingdom of God. Praise God. I don't know where you would be, but I hate to think of where we would be if it hadn't been for God and his goodness and his mercies and his grace. We were talking about it in theology this morning, but the antidote to most of what is wrong with our human experience is simply having a thankful heart, going into the presence of God and just enumerating all the good things, all the blessings. And when you do that, you not only demonstrate a thankfulness or a thankful heart, you have access to the presence of God because the word says that we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But while you're doing that, it helps diminish all of the nagging negative things in your life. It puts things back into alignment and perspective. And we remember. It's like David when he said, he was struggling with the fact that wicked people were prospering. He said, I saw the prosperity of the wicked and my foot almost slipped. But then he said, I remembered the house of the Lord. And he went back in and he remembered how good God was and all the blessings and every time God had been good to him. And it rearranges everything. And it takes the focus off the negative and it puts the focus where it should always be, back on God. And you are happier and healthier and more productive. And I think you're probably prettier too when you thank God and when you have your heart right with God. Sin will make a fool out of you, but sin will make you ugly too. Make you contort your face all up in anger and grief and all of that stuff. Let's read the Word of God this morning. Numbers chapter 6. We're continuing our trip through the Word of God. We're in the book of Numbers, and we're down at the very end of that chapter, chapter 6. And God gives Moses a blessing for Aaron to pronounce on the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Praise God. If you're glad for the good word of God today and what he's doing, give him thanks. As you're seated, let's give God thanks and let's magnify him and let's praise him for his word. God, we praise you for the privilege to handle your word in this house. We praise you, Lord God, for the great gift of your word in our lives. And everyone said amen. Praise God. And so this is a prayer, an announcement, a pronouncement that God gives Moses for Aaron and his sons as they minister to the people and as they minister over Israel. He said, have them do this, have them speak and say this. Bless the children of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And so it suggests a face-to-face relationship. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Throughout the biblical discussion, a cast down countenance is sadness and anger or grief. But a lifted up countenance is peace and perhaps joy. And so I'm kind of reading into this that it suggests that perhaps God is smiling and God is giving approval. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The blessings of God bring peace to your life. And then they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The blessing of God brings peace, and there is peace in the knowledge of his name and a blessing. So what we're seeing here is a continuation of something that God begins in Genesis chapter 1. God does everything by pronouncement or by the word. The word is the vehicle by which God enters in, by which he created the natural universe, and by which he enters into the natural universe. And so by word, God said, let there be. And on that very first day of creation, God spoke the world into existence, and light and every living thing. God said, let there be, and all of these things came into being by the power of the word. That's why at the base of everything in your life, there is the word of God, and everything in your life is responsive to the word of God. That's why every spirit, every creature, great and small, every man, woman, and child is responsive to the word of God, because the word of God created all of us and all that is around us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I'm glad for verse 14 that says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But from the creation, and God said, the word of God is the chosen vehicle or methodology by which God brings about or affects change in the natural universe. And so then it's the prophets and God's word in the prophets, and God's word according to thy word. The prophet Elijah closed up the heavens and it didn't rain for years because of the word of a prophet. And so God does everything by word, by prophecy, and by prayer, because prayer is word if you're praying in a biblical way. Prayer is prophecy if you're praying in a biblical way. Prayer is not just a list of gimme, 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 I need, I need, I need. Prayer is you as vessel and vehicle for God in the earth, speaking forth the word of God. So word becomes extremely important here in this beginning. The idea that priest can stand over that nation and make a pronouncement and good things will happen to them doesn't make much sense to the natural mind. But the natural mind doesn't receive the things of the spirit. because they're spiritually given and they are spiritually discerned. And so we understand that when Israel came to Kadesh Barnea and they were about to cross over the Jordan into the land of promise, and they had prepared for this. It's the reason they came out of Egypt. They're about to enter in, but all of those wandering months and years, they had been extremely negative. Their voice and their word had been extremely negative, and they had dug such a pit for themselves that now God sends 12 spies into the land to see the land, and two of them come back, Joshua and Caleb, and they come back with a positive report. The land is full of good things and we can take the land. And the 10 came back with a report that said the land is good, but there are giants in the land and we are grasshoppers in our own sight and we are not able to go up and take the land. And the very thing that they said came to pass. God heard them, and by their own word, they did not go in, and they died because of unbelief in the wilderness. And their words, their own words, indicted them. So the spoken word is an extremely powerful thing. By the way, those last two, Joshua and Caleb, they lived for 40 years while the rest of Israel died, and then they brought a brand new generation into promise. And the difference between the ones that died in the wilderness and those that entered into promise was simply what they said. It is so important what comes out of your mouth. Praise God. It is no surprise then that blessing is the spoken word. Blessing comes by the spoken word. And here's what God tells Abraham in the first chapter that deals with Abe, in chapter 12 in Genesis verse 2. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so we understand then that blessing is imparted from God. Blessing, all good things come from God. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who is above, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That always has been true of God, and it is yet true of God, because God never changes. Anybody can witness in this house today that God is good and good things come from God. And so blessing is imparted from God. Good things come from God, and they are imparted from God. They are received by men. So God gives good things, and men receive good things. Then after men receive those things, men then become a source of those things, and this is the plan of God. Ideally, that flow could continue indefinitely. He says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and in you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Well, it has been abundantly true, because Israel came out of Abraham, and the Christ comes out of Israel, and the whole world has the potential to be redeemed and to live forever with God because of what Abraham produced in his life. And there are other things there associated with that, but the purpose of God in blessing you is that is vocational, or if you would, it is related to mission or ministry. The fact that God gives you something, it blesses you, but it's intended to go on downstream and touch and bless somebody else, because that's the nature of God. That's the nature of God. So blessing comes from God, is received by men, and once men receive that blessing, then they can become a blessing. And here's a little overview of that. Genesis 27, and his father Isaac said unto him, talking to Jacob, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine, and let other people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee. Blessed be he that blesses thee. And I know these are just words, but these are the words of God in the mouth of a man, and these things happen to this young man, Jacob. Jacob receives the blessing, and he is going to become a blessing. And we see the flow, Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And Jacob's going to pass on when he's old. The book of Hebrews says that he leans on his staff, and he prays for the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so that blessing is intended to flow downstream. So the blessing of God as it comes, there's a lot of interest in blessings today. Everybody wants to be blessed. If you're interested in being blessed today, why don't you affirm that by raising your hand, maybe giving a vocal, verbal assent. I'd like to be blessed. I'd like the blessings of God on me. And if you're just sitting there like a toad, you know God watches all this stuff and it's very important to him. And so it's like, yes, I'd like to be blessed of God. Send it down. It's going to fall somewhere. Let it fall here. Somebody's going to receive from God today. Let it fall right here. God's got plenty. His storehouse is full. He never runs dry. Let it come down right here. We're searching and seeking for the blessing of God. But the blessing is always tied. On one side, it's tied to God, and that face-to-face with God, my relational dynamic with God. God is not an inanimate thing that you drive up to, or some source that you touch and that you receive something from. God is the most important relation in your life. You came from God and you're going back to God. Your heart beats because of him. Your eyes see because of him. You have the breath of life in you because of him. And so the opening or our text is suggest the necessity of a face to face with God. You've got to be touching God and be touched of God. And then the blessing is connected to that. It is relational in its dynamic. Praise God. Don't just come to church when you're in need to receive something. Don't just come by to get a blessing. You need to have an ongoing, deeply developed relationship with God. That's where the biblical blessing comes from. Now there's commercial Christianity out there that'll talk about blessings. You don't have to pray to be blessed. You're already blessed. It just happened to everybody all the time. Well, that's just not true, and that's not the biblical presentation. So it's always tied to a relational experience with God, but then it's also tied to this business of ministry or the outflow, mission. Thou shalt be a blessing, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God put a very, very pointed object lesson right in the middle of Israel. He put a place in the middle of that little space of land that he gave to Abraham that is today the lowest spot on the face of the earth. It is the place where the Jordan River flows down from up in the areas around Syria and Lebanon and those mountainous regions and comes down, and Israel becomes a verdant valley. It becomes a very fertile place, and it's because of all the nutrition and the wonderful good things, you might say the blessings, that flow down in the Jordan and feed their crops and sustain their lives, and it's a wonderful thing. But when it gets down to southern Israel and it pours into that lowest spot on the face of the earth, and there is no outlet, there's nowhere for it to go, it's not going to bless anybody else. It's just tanking up. It's just filling up. All the blessings just keep coming in, and all the good things just keep coming in, and it's like eating box after box after box after box of Twinkies. If you like, anybody like Twinkies? Okay, but if you ate a tractor trailer load of Twinkies, you'd die. I don't know what kind of death you would die, but you would die. I don't know what kind of shape you'd be in when we found you. But you would, so this river flows into that Dead Sea, and all the blessings become a toxic stew. It's full of minerals, it's full of salt, it's full of everything that upstream in moderation and with outlets and places for it to go, it is full of life and full of goodness and strength to everything that it touches. But when it gets down to the Dead Sea, nothing lives in there but some little microscopic shrimp, and nothing can live there because it's dead. And that's what happens to you when you tank up on the blessing and you come to church and you're looking for another blessing, and you already live in the most blessed land in the whole world, but you're focused on what you don't have. And that's the devil's work. Adam and Eve had the whole garden, but the enemy wanted them to look at the one thing they couldn't have, and they choked on that one thing. You need to back off from all of that, and you need to begin to count your blessings and look at all the goodness of God and get face to face with God and say, God, you've been so good to me and you bless me. I want to take what you've given me and I want to make sure that I give it to somebody else. I want somebody else to share in this goodness that God has shown to me. Let's give God a little praise and magnify him right now, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so blessing in his first instance has a relational dynamic. We are face to face with God. And then it has a missiological, a mission-oriented dynamic, which is I need to have an outlet. I need to be a blessing to somebody else. And so when God comes to you, God gives you salvation, but it is tethered to vocation, and you can't have one without the other. It's just the way the word works. It's the way the kingdom of God works. God comes to save you and immediately talks to you about what he's going to do with you and who you need to touch and what needs to happen with you. And so immediately when you get saved, you start working in the kingdom of God. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's going to give you something good. He said, take my yoke upon you. And so we yoke together with him. A contraption, a device, a mechanical thing that goes over the shoulders of oxen or donkeys or me and Jesus, and keeps you moving where he moves and going where he goes. And it's a mechanical device. With two mules, you get more than two mules worth of energy. With two oxen, you get more than the sum of what those oxen could do independent of one another. That's just off the charts when it comes to Jesus. Because when you yoke together with Jesus, I'm not bringing much into it at all other than, God, I'm just glad to be here with you. But he does all the heavy lifting. He takes care of all the big business. Praise God. But that yoke it's full of implication about work. And so when you hit the ground in the kingdom of God, the blessing is tied to work. The blessing is tied to mission and vocation. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a stinky Dead Sea. Yeah. Well, then you answered them by saying, how can I avoid being a stinky Dead Sea? Some of you are not participating in this. And you answer, by having an outlet. By blessing others, by doing something good for others. I just want you, just right now, if you've got a cloud over your head and you're the most depressed person this side of the Mississippi, I want you to go home today and I want you to bake a cake and take it to somebody and give it to them. Or go visit some elder in the hospital. Or go see Sister Gail Green in the nursing home. Or go somewhere and be a blessing to some little kid in children's hospital that has leukemia. Get out of your Dead Sea and get up and go do something for somebody else. Immediately you'll begin to feel better. Unless you're just hopeless and beyond reach and you regret giving the chocolate cake away. There's nothing I can do for you or God can do for you. You're done. You're toast. You're already a Dead Sea. My chocolate cake. I gave it away. God made me give my cake away. Genesis 22, blessing comes and is associated with, always, with obedience. With obedience. People think, and it's in the climate of American modern Christianity, that you can be in the club on a Saturday night and just come to church and go, "Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to get my blessing." Blessing is associated with obedience. God is not another place you stop and shop for some passion-based thing that you're looking for or that you need. So Genesis 22, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing." This is 22. This is where Abraham takes Isaac to the mountain and lifts the knife and is going to offer him up as a sacrifice to God, his only son. He said, "Because you've done this thing and you've not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens." You hear the language? How what Abraham did is connected to what God's going to do. And Martin Luther sowed some seeds of some terrible things. And he suggested to the whole Protestant world that you could receive from God without doing anything. But James clears that up and says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. The blessing of God is always connected to what you do. Bottom line, you'll never be good enough. You'll never be strong enough. You'll never be enough to deserve what God is going to do for you. But he took care of that on the cross. Now there's a system in place, and it is always, the blessing is always connected with what you do. And he said, "Because you've done this thing, you haven't withheld your son, that in blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed, because thou hast obeyed, because thou hast obeyed." You're going to be blessed, and you're going to be a blessing to others because you've tethered your life to obedience in God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Obedience in God. Well, obedience to what? Well, that's yours to find out. But it's all given to us in the Word of God. Everything God wants you to be is in His Word. Everything God wants you to do is in His Word. Everything that will bring the blessing and cause you to be a blessing is in the Word of God. And all you've got to do is find it and do it. Okay. So Saul was another notable in the Old Testament, first king of Israel, and he was anointed and he was blessed and he had supernatural spiritual utterance. He prophesied. He was king for a season, and then his ego rose up and he began to fail in some principal areas of obedience. And when he did, he lost his anointing, he lost his kingdom, and he lost his place, and ultimately he lost his life, and all of it was tethered to disobedience. So you see that Deuteronomy 28, blessing and curse are all centered around obedience. God says, if you obey my word, here are all the blessings that are going to come. And the last two-thirds of Deuteronomy 28, here are all the curses that are going to come when you disobey my word. So here's a little more on obedience and blessing. Will a man rob God? That's a question. And you can give me a number of different responses. Only a fool would rob God. How would you go about robbing God? How do you intimidate God? What works? Knife, gun? How can you rob God? How do you get into his house? How do you get into his storehouse? It's just all kind of questions right there in the beginning. He said, "Yet you have robbed me." And he amazes them by charging them with that. And they rightly say, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? God, how did we rob you? And he said, in tithes and in offerings. And then he says, you are cursed with a curse. Curse is antithetical to blessing. Blessing is the good stuff. Curse is the bad stuff. But it's not like God sees you doing something and says, a curse on you. And then sees you doing something and he's like, I got a special curse for you. Blessing is the unnatural state of mankind. Man coming to God is breaking out of the existential, the fallen, the broken, the distorted, the Adamic nature. And so we're leaving our world template to be blessed of God. And you can have God and have the blessing of God in the existential world. And it's the whole business of redemption. And it's a beautiful thing. But we were born under the curse. And we were, David said, born shapen in iniquity, born in sin. And so the curse is our daily bread. The curse is what we do when we don't meet God. The curse is on everybody that lives and breathes on the earth. It's not like God makes something new because he sees you get out of line. We were born out of line. But when we start getting in alignment with his word, when we start getting in alignment with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, then the blessings begin to break in to our lives and God begins to replace cursing with blessing. But it's when you decide to leave the things of God that you just resort back to what you were before and you go back to your homeland of the curse. So you got that. So wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Well, you're cursed with a curse. You've gone back to your ways. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He's talking to Israel. And here's the remedy. Here's the solution. God is very solution oriented, always looking for the answer. Come, let us reason together is God's mantra to mankind. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. See the connection, what you do and what God does. See if I won't open you the windows of heaven and pour. Is there anybody in this house that believes this? And pour you out a blessing. Is there anybody here that's experienced this? And there shall not be room enough to receive it. I just want you to know that God is a good God, and I found him to be faithful, and I found him to be true to his word. And ever since we've lived for God, first check my wife writes is the tithing and the offering check. For you young people, that's a piece of paper, sometimes with all kinds of little artwork on it with your name, and it's fallen into the genre of like phone books and encyclopedias and periodicals, magazines, and now checkbooks are there. But so like the code at the gate is four numbers and a pound sign. But if you're under 20, it's four numbers and a hashtag. I know this to be true. I was showing my grandchildren a pound sign the other day, and they said, Grandpa, but that's not a pound sign. That's a hashtag. Hashtag education from grandchildren. He says, he goes on, prove me now, test me now. It's one of the only places in the Bible where God gives you a chance to test him. Check me out. See if this is not true. Prove me now herewith, bring the tithe, bring the offering, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. He says, based on what you do, I will do. And if you work according to my word and my plan, I'll just open a window over your life and it will rain out on you. Is there a witness in this house? Has anybody walked in this yet? And he said, if you do this, if you respond, if you are obedient, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall see it, shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise God. And so God's blessing is tied to obedience. It matters what you do. You can't just pass by and wave and claim, I'm claiming the blessing of God. You can shout that all you want. You can scream that to the highest mountain, but it doesn't mean anything if it's not rooted in the relational, if it's not rooted in the mission of God, and if it's not rooted in obedience. Praise God. Blessing is tied, inherently, it's tied to trust and to faith. Here's Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, nor her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. He said the natural things that happen to others are not going to come on this man that trusts in God. It's going to be like a man, like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. And I know I talk about it too much because I've mentioned it two or three times, but it's so well connected to this today. Praise God. Do you know which fast food restaurant makes more money per unit store than all the others? Everybody said Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. They make more money. And they spot them one day a week. They spot them 52 days a year. And at the bottom line, that local unit store of Chick-fil-A makes more money. Why? Well, because we like chicken sandwiches. We like waffle fries. And we like lemonade. And we like... No. The reason is somebody in that enterprise said God asked for a day. And I know it's not the... Sunday's not the real Sabbath. The real Sabbath is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. We're having church on the first day of the week, which is when he rose from the dead, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, and all those important milestones. And so, but they took a day because the Word of God said so, and they said, we're going to close up shop. Well, man, everybody's going to go to McDonald's. Everybody's going to go to Zaxby's. Everybody's going to go to wherever they go when they don't go to Chick-fil-A. And he said, I don't care because I trust God. And you know these scriptures, Brother Travis, these scriptures we're reading, they say that if you'll just make it right with God and you'll just obey God, he said, see, if I won't open up the window of heaven, see, if I won't shut down the devourer, see, if I won't make it right in your life. I just want to camp out on this for a minute right now. And let me make something really clear. God doesn't need your money. He's got more than he can handle. God doesn't need your money. You need God to be in control of your money. When you come to an altar, you come body, soul, and spirit. Everything I am belongs to God. And that tenth and that offering is just a symbol. And it says every week or every month or however it is with you, when you are responding to God, this is a symbol, this is a portion, and it means that everything in my house, everything in my life belongs to God. Praise God. Daddy, Daddy, why don't we work on this day? The Philistines are all working. Everybody's working out there. And by the end of the growing season, we lose a day a week, and we're not going to have enough grain to survive the winter. Honey, God's already promised that if we do according to His word and we set aside a day and we make things right with God, then God, who makes that seed to grow? Who makes the clouds to come with the rain? Who kisses the corn and makes it fat and makes it prosper? I know the one that has a genetic code for everything in life, and everything in life responds to God. I'm giving God what He's asking for, and God's pouring out His blessing. Praise God. Blessing comes by obedient separation. Obedience costs you something. Obedience creates change, sometimes convulsion in your life. The first psalm, blessed is the man. Here's the blessing of God on a man that, here's what he does, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But where is his heart? Where is his delight? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. He's found something better than all of his peer group and everybody that's got some other agenda. We are here today. We have good fellowship here today. We love one another today. We've become the people of God and a family of sorts in the kingdom of God. But the reason we are here is because, and the reason we have relationship, Brother Butch, is because you and I believe the word of God and we trust the word of God and we're walking together in the word of God. How can two walk together except they agree? And so where is he? Well, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Here's the blessing. Now, this is what he's done. He's separated from the ungodly and from the sinner and from the scorner. Now God says he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, neither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessings are facilitated by behavior, and they are corrupted by behavior. It matters what you do. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it matters what you do. Praise God. Blessings are associated with a culture of praising. Already talked about Thanksgiving and how that blessing is tethered to Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving shapes your heart and the way that you think. Here's an idea from the scripture that tells me there is a cycle of Thanksgiving and blessing and prospering and more Thanksgiving. God be merciful to us. We're in Psalm 67. Let's say this together. God be merciful to us. And bless us. And cause his face to shine upon us. You hear our text scripture there. You hear the Aaronic blessing that God gave Moses for Aaron. Cause his face to shine upon us. That thy way may be known upon earth. Thy saving health among all nations. You see the mission here. When God blesses us, then his way is known upon the earth and his saving health among the nations. And then when that happens, when God's blessing comes down on us and other people begin to prosper because of it, let the people praise thee, O God. Say that again. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Because he knows that there's always some that don't praise. Okay. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad. And sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously. And govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. When we get to praising God because God's been so good and the blessings are coming down and we're affecting other people by the blessing of God, then the earth is going to yield her increase. It affects when we walk this right and we walk this diligently. It affects the earth itself, everything around us. There is redemptive lives for the man and for the woman and for the family. But I believe your garden will do better when you're walking. Your job will do better. Your craft and your skill will be better when you're walking in the blessing of God. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Praise God. Sam, won't you come? The last line of that Aaronic blessing, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Praise God. So there are a lot of symbols, and there are a lot of things in that tabernacle process and in that law of Moses that have to do with the name of God. The name of God is a huge theme throughout the scripture. Moses, tell them that I am that I am has sent you. That's my name. And all through the Old Testament, he's revealing his name to them. And here, in the Aaronic blessing, God says, and they shall put my name upon them. The priesthood will put the name of God on the people. And I will bless them. Now, there are a lot of ways that the people of God interacted with the name of God throughout the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, something new begins to happen. There is a brand new revelation of God, a name that has never been used before for God. In the New Testament, the angel stands with Joseph, stands with Mary, and says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is Joshua. It's Yeshua. Jesus is God has become our salvation. And in the New Testament, something new was implemented, something no one ever experienced in the Old Testament other than in typology. But John came and he began to introduce baptism. And in baptism, the people were coming and repenting and getting forgiveness for their sins. But when the church age began, when Peter first stepped up in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and the people in the street asked, what can we do? Because he had preached them under conviction and he had told them that they had crucified the Christ. Peter told them, repent, which means turn around, which is the essential to blessing. Because you can't keep doing what you've been doing. If you do, you're going to get what you've been getting. And so you got to change what you're doing. That's what repentance is. And then he said, be baptized, every one of you. All of you, each of you. It's not debatable. It's not conditional. It's not optional. Baptism is essential for all of us that would come into relationship with God in obedience to his word, in obedience to the mandate of the New Testament. He said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, his name is applied to your life when you go down in the water in Jesus' name. The last line of our text says, and they will put my name upon them, upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So you can be a candidate for blessing today by turning your face to God and beginning, because I'm telling you, he's quick to respond. He's not far from any one of us. He's near to us right now. If you just turn to him and begin to say, God, I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to get close to you, and I don't know how to please you, but I want to, and I want to draw close to you today. Immediately, he's all over that, and he's beginning to touch you and help you and speak to your mind and your heart. So you turn to him, and that's the relational dynamic. And then you begin to see his word and you begin to obey his word. And that creates that dynamic of obedience. And in obedience, you are eligible to receive the blessing of God. This last part here, I want to tell you, we have water today. And it's nice and warm. It's already for you. In there are robes that someone carefully placed and prepared for you. There are towels there just for you. And everything is ready. And there's someone here today that will put you down in the water and invoke the name of Jesus upon your life. And we will fulfill this number 6 and 27. The name of the Lord will be applied to your life. And God said, I will bless them. I don't know about you, but I love the blessings of God, and I need the blessings of God, and I want to be in relationship with him, and I want to be obedient to him. But I'm glad today that God lets a man or a woman come under the canopy and the influence and the power of the name of Jesus. Let's give God some love and bless his name right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to invite you to come right now. I'd like to invite you to come if you would like to have a face-to-face with God. He'll meet you right here in this altar, and you can begin to talk to him. And here's a miracle. God will begin to talk to you. I'd like for you to come if you'd like to be obedient to his word. Just come and tell him that, and he'll begin to open up his word in your life. I'd like for you to come if you'd like to have his name applied to your life. Because if you would, we'll baptize you this morning in the name above every name. It's not about joining the church. It's not about joining an organization. It's about saying yes to the word of God. Somebody come and praise him. Somebody come and bless him. There's somebody here that needs to say, God, you've been so good to me. Help me to be a blessing to others. There's someone here today that needs to come and say, God, I don't want to be a dead sea anymore. I want to be productive. I want to be effective. I want to be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. When you get down here, lay your hand on somebody. Take somebody by the hand. Link up with somebody. I give you praise.
Everything
I give it all.
I give to you.
Whatever you're holding back from God, it won't be worth it. You're going to love the blessings of God. Pray, church. Somebody press in. Somebody be used. Somebody cry out. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Hallelujah.
With holding nothing,
with
God. If God's been good to you and you've been blessed, I want you to turn to somebody right now and lay your hands on them. And I want you to begin to pray the blessing and the goodness of God on somebody right there by you. Hallelujah. Bless my brother, God. Bless my sister. Bless their lives. Bless them in work. Bless them in ministry. Bless the fruit of their labors. Give them, God, everything they have need. Let your face shine upon them, O God. Let your countenance be upon them, O God. Open up the windows of heaven, O God. Pour out your great blessing. Let your anointing rest on them, O God. That's right, let that flow. Let that flow. It'll flow out of you. It'll flow into them.
Lord, I give myself away.
It came to you for you, but it came to you for someone else. The Lord. This is the last time I'll make you uncomfortable today. Pick your buddy there. If you're in a threesome, it'll work. Come on, gentlemen, turn to one another. We're going to talk. And repeat after me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Praise God. Somebody ought to just receive that right now. I give you thanks, oh God. I worship you, oh God. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, mighty, mighty Jesus. Oh, is anybody in the house blessed and glad to be blessed? Anybody in the house blessed of God? We give you thanks, oh God. We magnify your name, oh God. Glory, glory. Praise God. Praise God. It's so good to be in the Lord's house on a Sunday morning with you. Greet and bless and strengthen somebody before you leave this house today. We'll do this again this evening. God bless you.